Living Hope Assembly of God.
The people of God cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." There's no other way really to describe Him. Holy. When they look at Him, they recognize Him as that. Holy. You know, we put emphasis on it because there's no expression really that we can really come to that that just gives a true definition. He's holy, but He's righteous. He's good. He's indescribable. He's beyond our comprehension. He's God. And today we worship that God. That's our God. We are His and He is ours. Can you imagine that? That He loves us unconditionally, that He cares for us. It doesn't matter what kind of problem you came in here with today. You can't stop Him from loving you. I don't care how many heartaches and how many upsets and how many letdowns we have had, He still loves us. He cares for us. And today He desires to speak to our hearts. I long for a day when we just open ourselves up to God and allow Him to just have His way. Just take the brakes off. Be unashamed. He's worthy. He's worthy today, church. Father, this morning be glorified. Be magnified. Be highly exalted, God. We bow at Your feet. We take our crowns off, God. God, we lay down our cares. We lay down worries. We lay down our fears, our doubts, our wonderings, our mistakes. We lay them at Your feet, our assumptions. And God, we just lay before You. We stand before You. Naked and unashamed. God, I ask You today, be glorified, God. Speak to the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with me again to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Just to bring you up to speed, we're going to skip around this morning. We're not going to read the entire thing. But if you'll stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We see in our text this morning that Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah the priest, we found out in our text that Jeremiah is very young of age during this time that God had called him to preach the gospel. Jeremiah being a son of a preacher, can you imagine Jeremiah going out amongst in the community, being the son of a preacher and having to live up to a certain standard, not knowing the call of God on his life? Can you imagine being young Jeremiah at this time? And the Bible says that out of the blue, if you will, that God called Jeremiah and said, "Jeremiah, this is what I need for you to do." In fact, He told Jeremiah in the first few verses, He said, "I knew you before you were born. I had ordained you. I have called you to the nations." Can you imagine the burden that was placed on his young mind at that moment? I don't know about you, but I would have been kind of overwhelmed. And this morning he said, "I have commanded you to speak." He didn't say, "I'm giving you an option or a choice to speak." He said, "I have commanded you to speak. You will say what I tell you to say. In fact, you will not be afraid of their faces. You'll say what I would have you to say. And the reason why you shouldn't be afraid is for I am with you to deliver you." I want to say something to you this morning that you don't have to be afraid. No matter what season you're in life, no matter what obstacle, what difficulty you may face, because we're going to face something in life that has the potential to scare us really bad and cause us to be afraid. For Peter, it was the storm on the sea. For you, it may be the finances, it may be your health, it may be different issues that you're going to face in your life. But I'm telling you this morning, I hear the voice of God speaking expressly to you this morning, don't be afraid, because I am with you. I am going before you this morning. Verse 9 goes on to say, and this is where we're going to, this is going to be a focus scripture this morning, verse 9 and verse 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17 and verse 19. Verse 9 says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. This is Jeremiah talking. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Verse 17 says, you therefore gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all that I have commanded you. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. Verse 18 says, For indeed I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the officials, against the priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Father, this morning, may you be glorified through your word. God, may we give you our full attention. God, may you hide me behind the cross, God. You know that it's my heart to preach your word, God, to speak to your people this morning, God. Change our lives, Jesus. God, may you be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we dove into the life and ministry of Jeremiah. We discovered that the call of God on Jeremiah's life came with a challenge. Oftentimes, life will offer us challenges, whether we are ready for them or not. And in those challenges that God places upon our life and life places upon us, it's where we learn, it's where we grow, it's where we become the people that God has called us to be. We talked about there are times that God calls us to do something bigger than ourselves, and it is in those times and moments we feel inadequate, unqualified, and even inferior. Throughout the course of life and ministry, I've learned that if God brought me to it, he'll bring me through it. And I shared with you guys last week about the very challenging time in mine and Adrian's life. I told you guys about a time that Adrian and I learned throughout our ministry that God will truly allow you to go through the fire in order to work some things out of you so that he can place some things in you. We firmly believe that in order to get to Blair, we talked about, there had to have been a Winsboro. Winsboro was where the growing pains were immeasurable at times. We talked about that last week. I'm bringing you up to speed, but it was in this season of life and ministry that we grew to the place of maturity. And we talked about how there are times and seasons in your life that are placed there for a reason. Not everything that happens to you is because the devil is doing it. Some of the things that happen to you is because God is trying you, and in order to try you and to prove you, you have to go through the fire. How else will you be proven that you have attained a certain amount of information unless the teacher gives you a test? How else is something smoothed out unless two rough objects are rubbed against it? It's almost the laws of nature, and this morning God is wanting you to hurry up and grab a hold of the fact that hard times are going to come your way. But what you do with the difficult season, what you do with the hard times, what you do with the challenge will be life transforming. Do you hear me on either side of that? It could be life transforming for the bad. It could be life transforming for the good. The ball is really in your court, how you handle things in life. You have an opportunity to trust God or to not trust God. You have a moment and an opportunity in your life to go through the fire and say, God, whatever I'm going through, whatever situation I'm in, I'm going to trust you in spite of it. That's where we're at this morning. I need my wife in here. I think she might give me an amen this morning. Here in our text, God is now about to take young Jeremiah away from his small-knit community and from serving in his father's house to serving in his house. God called Jeremiah to his prophetic ministry about 1 year after King Josiah began leading the nation in a great reform from an extensive worship of idols, which was promoted by his father Amon and his grandfather Manasseh. You could find that in 2 Kings chapter 21. If you know anything about biblical history, Manasseh was one of the worst kings ever to take the throne. He is accredited with making Judah sin and doing evil in the sight of the Lord. This put Manasseh, king of Judah, in the same spiritual family as King Ahab of Israel. Under both of these kings, among others, the people of God were persecuted by the religion of state-sponsored idolatry. About a century earlier, King Hezekiah had led religious reforms in Judah, and you can find that in 2 Kings chapter 18, around verse 4. But his son Manasseh promoted the vile practice of child sacrifice and worship of the Queen of Heaven, Jeremiah chapter 7, around verse 18. This continued into Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah 7 and 31, chapter 19 and chapter 32, we could read about all of these events. It was against this challenge this morning we want to talk about that Jeremiah was appointed to reveal the sins of the people and the grave consequences of ignoring them. Jeremiah was among those who had hoped for a permanent spiritual revival, but tragedy came when Josiah died suddenly at the young age of 39. Scripture tells us that the whole nation mourned his death, as did Jeremiah in 2 Chronicles 35 in verse 25. I need for you to hear this morning, but ultimately Josiah's reforms would not be enough to preserve Judah and Jerusalem from God's punishment, because of the sins of Manasseh had become so deeply embedded within the lives of the people of Israel. Before we go on preaching this morning, you have to be careful that we are setting the right standard for the generation that is coming behind us. If we don't set the right standard, if we don't have God at the forefront of our lives and at the forefront of everything that we do, if our family, if our children, if a generation doesn't see God lived out in our lives, I promise you, they stand a chance of falling away. And the name of Jesus throughout Israel was buried under all of this idolatry, all of these false gods, and under the bodies of millions and millions of dead babies that were sacrificed. This morning, I believe that God is wanting to sound the alarm, not just in our church, but in America and around the world, of all of the evil acts that are taking place in our society. And what really happened to Israel was the fact that they became numb to the things that were going on around them. Things that were once considered very sinful was not sinful anymore. The worship of false gods became a normal thing inside of their household. How can you go from serving the true and living God, the one that you sing, do acts that are undescribable, to serving and worshiping a God that was made with the hands of man? How can we do that? How can we worship the very things that God has given us when he was the one that gave them to us? How can we worship our jobs? How can we worship the people that we're dating or the people that we're married to? How can we worship our children? How can we worship mammon? How can we worship these things? It's easy because we allow ourselves to become desensitized. And we see Israel in our text in the same state. When we look at the nature and character of God, we have to say that his way of thinking and his way of doing things is often drastically different from ours. And instead of God choosing the most sought after individual, he searches for the least of these. We saw this in the case of David. We saw this in the case of Gideon and many others. Out of all of David's brothers, God chose the young David. Out of the brave men who were more qualified than Gideon, God chose Gideon. The angel, in fact, spoke to Gideon and said, "Mighty man of valor." Can you imagine Gideon at that moment looking around, wondering who God was talking to as he was hiding from his enemy? Another synonym for valor is fearlessness. How in the world can Gideon be hiding in fear and the angel walks up to him and calls him a mighty man of valor? I want you to stay with me this morning because we're going somewhere. Isn't that odd? That God saw something in Gideon that Gideon did not even see in himself. I have to wonder, what did God see in David? What did God see in Gideon? What does God see in you that he calls you like a commander in chief would call a soldier to battle? For several weeks, we talked about the life of the widow that gave the two mites in Luke chapter 21. And the Bible says that Jesus, with a couple disciples, looked upon her and watched as she gave what she gave in that offering that day. I have to wonder if he looked at young Jeremiah as he served in his father's house and he immediately saw something that he didn't see in Jeremiah's father or any other young person in his community. One of the most powerful things when I think about the nature and character of God and what I glean from the conversation that God had with Jeremiah is the fact that God knew Jeremiah. Do you hear me today? That God knew him, God formed him, he set him apart and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. He did all of this long before Jeremiah drew his first breath or shed his first tear. God's choice is not unique to Jeremiah. It is true for every one of us this morning inside of this house. You didn't choose me, Jesus said to his disciples, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit. John chapter 15, verse 16. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This promise is for the whole church and not just part of the church. This promise is for those who are far off that are coming in. This promise is for the alcoholic laying in the alley right now. This promise is for the crackhead who's on the ground searching for the crumbs of crack. This promise is for the little girl who feels like that she has no value. This promise is for the young man who feels like life is never going to give him anything. This promise is for those who have low esteem. This promise is for those who are the rejects of society, in which I was one. In which I was one. He sees you. He knows you. This is his will. This is his plan. Therefore, it is for the comfort of every Christian. God not only knows you, he chose you. And he did so long before you were ever conceived. I want you to get your mind around that this morning. God knew that Israel was going to make the mistake that Israel made. But God already had a plan designed, just like when man fell in the garden. God already had a plan and a way for man to have hope and salvation. You can't make too many mistakes. God is always going before you, guys. He is God. Listen, so why are we so concerned about situations that we cannot change? Why don't we just place them in the hands of God? Why don't we start praying and talking and seeking God's face and saying to ourselves, God, listen, I give it to you. Why don't we stop worrying and beating our heads against the wall and soaking our pillows with tears and preserve our energy so that we can pray and talk to the living God? Listen, Israel kings were not too bad for God. Manasseh was a wicked king, but he was not mightier than God. When God looks at your life, and I'm not talking about what we do at church and when others are watching, that's good and all, but what does he see while you are in private, while life is at its worst, when things are not going your way? What does he see? This morning, when we look at the life of all of the individuals, David, Gideon, and many others, Jephthah, part two this morning, we want to deal with this. I believe that he saw dedication. Last week, we talked about a willingness to be challenged was the first ingredient for success. This week, we want to talk about there must be a high level of dedication. When I think of dedication, I think of Jeremiah. The Bible says in verse 17 through 19, you therefore gird up your loins. What does that mean? To gird up your loins, which the men wore like a sash, and what they would do, they would take the sash and they would take it and they would tuck it, bring it in front of them, and they would take it and pull it back between their legs and tie it, bring it up here and tie it around. Why did they do that? Because they had to be ready to fight. They had to be ready to work. In other words, what God was telling Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I want you to be ready, because the battle that you're going to face is going to be a hard one. The battle that you are about to face is going to be a tough one. In other words, what God was telling Jeremiah, boy, it's time to man up. When God called you and I, what God has called us to do, the first thing that he's called you to do, he's called you to gird up your loins and get ready to fight. I know in 21st century Christianity, they're teaching us a whole lot of stuff, that life is going to be easy. But I promise you, there's an adversary, the devil, and he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And as much as God is for you and the world may be against you, you have to play your part in this battle as well. Guard yourself. Flee the very appearance of evil. Gird up your loins. Jeremiah. Get ready for battle. In the remainder of the chapter, Jeremiah is given strong encouragement for his hard task, because the message would be neither welcomed nor popular with his people. To fulfill his duties, nothing less than utter dedication to God and to his strength would be sufficient. Did you hear me? If you're going to make it through, if you're going to survive, your trust better be in God. Jeremiah was a young man, very young, maybe 14, 13 to 17 years old. Can you imagine having a call of God on your life at that young age? It would be a challenge. It would be a hard thing to do, so it's going to take dedication. And in reality, the call of God, the reason why the call of God on your life seems so heavy, because it is. It's hard work living for God. When you really live for God, I promise you, you'll be hated by more people than more people that love you. Do you hear me, church? The journey to success is not only for the faint of heart. It's not for the faint of heart. But it's for those who have made up in their minds that they are dedicated in spite of the obstacles along the way. Joseph, David, and many others understood that once God placed a dream or a passion inside of you, it is often met with doubt from you. But it is opposed by the enemy in front of you. There are times that you will feel that the world is against you and the pit is around you. Pastor Scott Wilson, author of Steering Through Chaos, wrote, "People who want to avoid problems shouldn't attempt steering through chaos." If your whole objective when you came to know Jesus that you wanted to steer clear of problems, you signed up for the wrong thing. Jesus himself couldn't avoid problems. Jesus himself said in the Word of God that in this life there will be troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I need for you to understand today that if you're going to become victorious, if you're going to become successful, you have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to show up for the fight. What football team or basketball team ever wins a game if they don't ever show up, if they don't ever try hard? If they're not dedicated, dedication is more than just showing up. Dedication has to start in the privacy of your home. Maybe that went over some of our heads. So let me say it like this. Dedication starts in your prayer chamber. Dedication starts when you pick up this Bible. Dedication starts when you learn how to love those that you live in the house with. Do you hear me, church? God is not wanting us to come out here in public ministry if we can't do well in private ministry. If we're not dedicated to our families and to our children, if we're not dedicated to reading our Bible, if we're not dedicated to praying, listen, you might need to hold up a minute and wait on God and get your act together and grow to a level of maturity. Amen. I hope I'm not preaching too hard to you this morning. During times of transition, Pastor Scott says, problems are unavoidable. In fact, we often create them as we push forward and change the existing reality. True leaders, or those who desire to succeed, are willing to forge ahead regardless of obstacles. Leaders and successful people don't just advance in the times when the waters are smooth and pleasant, but they learn to be successful even when the storms come and when the waters are raging. the ingredient to being successful in the kingdom of God and in life has to be dedication. Dedication is often proven in the face of unwanted pressure. Desire is the key to motivation, church. You got to desire it. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. A person who really wants a relationship with God will seek after it. Do you hear me? They'll let some things go. They'll let some friends go. They'll let some bad habits go. And then those friends that you thought you had will start calling you weird and start calling you a sellout and start calling you prideful and start calling you arrogant. But in reality, you found a jewel that is more precious than throwing to swine. It's your hope for salvation. It's your faith in God. It's more valuable than the things of this world. That's why the Bible says that we should not try to attain treasures here on earth where rust and moth and corrosion can come, but we should build our treasures in heaven. Eternal treasury is more valuable than an earthly treasure. But sometimes we get it so twisted. And we allow the enemy to place things in our hands and tell us that this is more valuable than what we have our hope in because the temporary pleasure feels better than waiting on the promises of God. And we sell our dedication out to God and we become dedicated to that very thing that's eventually going to rust and get old. And has the potential of letting you down. That's why I tell people, listen, if you're going to be in ministry, your focus needs to be on God and not on people. When your focus is on God, listen, nothing can shake you, not even the people. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Because people will build you up and people will let you down, but God is always consistent in your life. You find someone who is really dedicated. You find someone who's sold out for Jesus, who have fully committed their lives to him, who has been like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, has presented their bodies as a living sacrifice. Church, this morning, I plead with you, have you really laid yourselves before God and say, God, listen, I'm sacrificing everything about me so that you can live through me, God. I want to be dedicated to you. Guys, listen, we need to come back to dedication to God. When you become dedicated to God, you can be dedicated in all areas of life because your focus is in the right place. When the storms come, you're still dedicated. Amen. But it is determination and dedication to the unrelenting pursuit of your goal, a dedication to excellence that will enable you to attain the success that you seek. A diamond will not become a diamond without the natural occurrence of pressure. It's against the laws of nature. Gold will not become pure unless it is tried in the fire. Your relationship will not be strengthened unless you're able to go through something. Some of the greatest marriages on the face of the planet are those marriages that when times were bad, they stuck together. When times were okay, they stuck together. When they didn't have a window nor a bucket, they stuck together. Listen, it is those marriages that stand the test of time. Because listen, if my wife has been with me when things were really bad, and she's been with me when things were good. And so when things become shaky in our lives, listen, that really doesn't bother us because we know that we need to band together because we are one. Listen, and so with that being said, when she's away or when I'm away, she don't have to worry about me stepping out on her because I love her unconditionally because she has seen me up, she has seen me down. I've seen her up and I have seen her down. And one of the very reasons why marriages fail, ministries fail, all other things fail. It's one, because we're selfish. That has to die. And number two, there's no real dedication nor commitment. See, because real love is not defined by the superficial things that we see. Real love is defined by your ability to stay when it seems like an unstable type position to be in. With all of the things going on in our world today, so many options, so many movements, are you still going to be dedicated? When some of the smartest people on the face of the planet comes to you and challenge your faith in God, are you still going to be dedicated? Your level of dedication and commitment to Christ will often be proven when you are under test. Your faithfulness is not faith until it is tried and proven. The greatest and enduring marriages and relationships are developed through the toughest times in life. If you and I are going to be successful in life, we must determine in our minds and heart that no matter what comes our way, we are not going to allow ourselves to be moved or from achieving God's best for our lives. In verse 17, God told Jeremiah, "Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them." I don't know about you, but have you ever been in an argument with someone that you know is a lot smarter than you are? And in an instant, they can destroy you. There are times that I feel inferior standing before you guys. I realize that there are more people in this building and more capable people in this building to do what I'm doing. And the reality is this: I have learned through the course of time that God called me to do what I'm doing. And God told Jeremiah, what did God tell Jeremiah? He said that I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And every time I stand up here, I feel inferior. I feel like that I don't add up. That's a battle going on in my mind. And if you're doing something for God, if you're trying to achieve anything, oftentimes you feel that way. And if you were to be honest, there are times that, just like me, you can hear voices and see faces of those from your childhood, of those that made you feel lower than scum. I have to wonder if Jeremiah felt like many of us when we are faced with doing the work of the Lord. I have to wonder, when the Lord called him, did he hear those voices calling out to him, reminding him of all of his past failures? I need you to understand something this morning. For 40 years in the life of Jeremiah, there was no shortage of naysayers. 40 years. Can you imagine that? 40 years of doing ministry, there was no shortage of naysayers lined up against Jeremiah, and they attempted to kill him time after time. Scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 11, if you'll turn there briefly, chapter 11, verse 21 through 23. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, so that you not die at our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring calamity upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. I need for you to understand something this morning, that the men that came against Jeremiah was not some stranger. Jeremiah was very familiar with these individuals who sought to take his life. But in spite of all of that, Jeremiah continued to remain faithful to God. He continued to be dedicated to what God had called him to do and who God had called him to be. Those who are dedicated are not afraid to be alone. If you're going to be dedicated to the things of God, you have to be willing to be alone at times. And I promise you, in Christianity, there are going to be probably more times that you have to stand alone than having a crowd standing with you. And the question this morning is, are you willing to stand alone? The problem with some of us this morning is that we're not willing to stand alone. We need somebody to stand with us. Can I tell you this morning that the only one that you need to stand with you when all reality begins to settle in is Jesus. Amen. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't need anybody to stand with you. You need Jesus to stand with you. Can I get an amen? Some of us are like, no, I need me somebody. No, we don't. The only one you really need is Jesus that stands with you. And some of us, we find ourselves yoking up with people that causes us to compromise the things that we once valued. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. For what does righteousness have to do with wickedness? And what do they have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? I know that some theologian is going to tell me that this means not to yoke up with someone that doesn't value the things that you value or as you believe. But the truth behind that is, well, you don't need to yoke up with someone that is going to lead you away from God. Period. I don't care what facet, that could be in business world, that could be in life, no matter who it is, you don't need to yoke up with someone that is not going to cause you to be successful. That's not going to cause you to prosper in life. That's why so many marriages that are put together, they fall apart. Because they're not equally yoked. Can I get an amen? That's why so many businesses fall, because the people who are together are not in the same mind frame, on the same level. They're not thinking in the same vein. They're not going in the same direction. So they're tugging in multiple directions, and it causes things to fall apart. Jeremiah had to stand alone. He had to stand by himself. The Apostle Paul encourages the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6 and 14 by saying, stand therefore. What are we to stand on? Huh? The word of God. We are to stand on the word of God. In whose words were Jeremiah instructed to stand on? Every so often, standing on God's word will bring a challenge and a level of difficulty that causes us to face opposition. Causes us to want to really throw in the towel at times. Causes us to want to give up because the pressure is on. How many of you like to debate? Have you ever gotten in one of those debates on Facebook? How many of you ever debated with one of those people that probably was an atheist or didn't believe quite like you believe, and you enter into this debate? That's tiring. It's exerting. It causes you at times to say, man, wow, is this worth it? When your loved one that you have been preaching to for years, they keep turning against you and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Will you remain dedicated? When you're in a house and you and your spouse are talking, and you get into this argument, and You begin to open up the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God has to say about it. And your loved one look at you and continue down the path of resistance. Do you still want to be dedicated when your spouse has stepped out on you or forsaken you? Do you still want to be dedicated to the things of God? Can I get an amen? And we can wrap this thing up. I feel like preaching all over again. Where are you this morning, church? Are you going to be dedicated when that good friend of yours is facing a terrible time in their life and they really don't know Jesus and you have an opportunity to pour God into them? Would you be dedicated? When you're riding along with that individual and the conversation is not going the way that it should go, will you compromise or will you stay dedicated to the things of God? Where are you this morning, church? Those who are dedicated will only be successful as they learn to persevere through the hardships of life. Jeremiah 1, 18 through 19, the Lord tells Jeremiah, "For indeed, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the officials, against the priests, and against all the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Perseverance is the quality of allowing someone to continue trying to do something, even though it is difficult. Did you hear that? Steady persistence in the face of course of action. Perseverance, it is purposeful state of action. I like how God told Jeremiah, "I made you. I have made you," in that verse. In other words, God calls Jeremiah to be successful. The Bible says in Zechariah 4 and 6, "So he said to me," this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, "not by might, not by power, but by my strength, by my spirit, says the Lord." God is like a protective father that watches over the welfare of his children. Do you hear me this morning, church? The Bible says in Psalm 121 that the God of Israel neither slumbers nor does he sleeps. He watches faithfully over his people. The answer this morning to success is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God, that you're going to be successful this morning, that you're going to remain dedicated, that you're going to remain consistent in the things of the Lord. Those who are successful in the kingdom of God are dedicated because their focus is on the Lord, and it is in the Lord that they gain strength and ability to do what God has called them to do. In verse 19, Jeremiah is assured success on the condition of his faith in God. If you'll stand this morning, the second ingredient this morning is dedication. Remaining dedicated in the face of pressure, in the face of opposition. And in order for your dedication to remain there, your focus has to stay on God. Your focus can't be on man. Your focus can't be on your account. Your focus can't be on the things that you can attain, because at any moment, at any second, if Job was here, he would tell us that those things can be gone. Dedication to God in spite of what's coming next. Dedication to God. Listen, the people that I want to ride with, the people that I want to be a part of what I'm doing, are the people that are going to have the stick-to-itiveness to stay with this church when it is small until it grows to the place that God is packing this place out, that there are multiple campuses all around the surrounding area. Listen, people are going to come, but listen, a pastor, a leader, a husband, a wife, a friend wants someone that's going to stick with them and be dedicated even in this season. Dedication comes when we don't get our way all the time. Dedication is when things doesn't look the way that I think they should look, when things doesn't feel the way that I think they should feel. Dedication is when things doesn't go the way that I feel they should go. I'm going to remain faithful and I'm going to remain dedicated in spite of all of that. He ultimately prevailed, Jeremiah did, over all of his enemies. And his prophecies were verified, showing him to be a true prophet of the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you a series of simple questions, and in your mind, I want you to fill in the blanks. The first question is, where's your dedication to the Lord? Very simple question. I want you to think about that this morning. Within the last several days, where's your dedication with the Lord? Is it up here? Is it down here? Or is it down here? The next question is, where's your dedication to the things of the Lord? How committed, how dedicated are you to the Lord, to the things of the Lord? Fill in that blank in your mind. And the last question is, where's your dedication to? Fill in that blank. Family. You want to be successful? There has to be dedication. What are you not dedicated to? Or what area are you not dedicated in? God is calling us to be to a place of excellence in everything. That's where we represent His kingdom. If you close your eyes this morning and you'll say, Pastor, this morning, if you'll say, I have not been dedicated to the things of the Lord really at all. But I want to be successful. I want this ingredient in my life. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up. See that hand? If you'll say this morning, Pastor, I want to just give my heart to Jesus and make Him my personal Lord and Savior. I just want to be real. I want to be dedicated to Him. I keep dropping the ball. I keep falling back into sin. I keep making the same old mistakes and a couple new ones all the time. But I want to be dedicated. I don't want to keep going backwards in the wrong direction. If that's you, if you want to commit your life to Jesus for the first time, will you slip your hand up this morning? If you want to rededicate your life this morning to God, recommit your life. Because you have fallen short, way short from where you should be. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up and we'll pray with you. Listen, guys, He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. He's wanting to come in. He's not going to force His way in. We have to allow Him in. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please don't leave here today that way. If you're here today and you'll say, Pastor, I filled in that last blank. with some things that I have not been dedicated in. And I want to be dedicated in those areas. If that's you, slip your hand up this morning. I see that hand. Praise you, Jesus. Father, this morning I ask you, Lord God, that you would begin to move and stir in our hearts this morning, God. Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised. More dedication in those areas where we're not faithful in, God. I pray, Lord God, this morning that whatever is the hindrance that is stopping the individuals from moving forward and being more dedicated, more committed to you, God, I pray right now that you would give them strength, not by might, not by power, but only by your Spirit. God, I pray that you would make things happen in their lives, God. Bring healing, hope, and restoration. God, give joy where there's no joy, God. Give peace where there's no peace. God, bring a wholeness to the lives of every individual in here, God, so that we can be dedicated to you more perfectly. And God, we ask that you go with us from this place, that you would be our all in all. And God, I pray this day for Mike again, God, that you would be with him and Stephanie and the family, God, and his sister, as she mourned the loss of her husband. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would answer all the questions. And God, that you would just give clear understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.